Modus Critica is intended for mature audiences only. Listener discretion is advised. Last time on Modus Critica. Our heroes made way through the Mercantile with wet boots to prove it. En route to Low Erin, they came across a dryad named Franny who exclaimed that her and her bound tree had been ravaged of late by the same group of redcaps that once found solace in her shade. Vowing to help after an anatomy lesson with another of the cool cat dryad folk in confirmation of Franny's exclamations, the party set up their ambush with haste. After burying most of them alive only to be crushed by the weight of the soil, the couple that remained were interrogated and set on their way. With new knowledge of the corruption that's destroying the wilds, our heroes finally made their way to Low Erin and solid ground. Directed to the Knights of the Green, the party was greeted by Rufio, and were informed that the stone was found, but it was in the hands of the hag of the Mercantile, Baba Yaga.
Welcome to Modus Critica, episode 8. We are six roly-poly Pokemon pals just trying to catch them all. And those six people are...
I'm Eric, and I actually used to play a lot of Pokemon with Tyrone.
Don't tell him the secret.
I also play Cornelius, the druid Herengon, who is starting to see the world in a different light.
Clearly you didn't keep all of them in mint condition, otherwise you wouldn't be here. You'd be on a fucking yacht.
Hi, my name is Kyle, and I'll be playing Dario Sidolfo. He is currently trudging through some gross land, and he's reminded of his mortality every day, and it gets better and better. On a side note, I also used to have Pokemon cards, but I gave them away, and they were like the originals.
Oh, you're an idiot.
Idiot.
Leave.
Hate you, Kyle, in grade 5. Idiot.
Stupid grade 5 Kyle.
Hi, my name is Sid, and I'll be playing Gord Godhand, the half-orc paladin barbarian. Who knows, he might multiclass into something else, but probably not, because it would be stupid. Gord's daughter does not collect Pokemon cards, but she did play Yu-Gi-Oh! Back in the day.
Hey, what's up? My name's Caitlin. I play Torque Tortellini, who is a very anxious turtle monk, and I didn't catch a whole lot when I was a kid. That's that. See you later.
Wait, come back. We're going to play D&D.
Where are you going? It's the beginning.
Hey, I'm Zach. I play Nevlin Thrice Great. Full disclosure, I'm recovering from a pretty bad cold, so expect that the consistency and professionalism that you've come to expect from me on this podcast might be slightly compromised over the next hour. I never dabbled in Pokemon cards, but me and my brother did have a game where we would take our first edition Transformers toys and G.I. Joe toys, build rock forts for them, and then throw rocks at each other's forts. And whoever's toy was destroyed the most by the end of it lost the game. And that is why I am here and not on a fucking yacht.
There you go.
And my name is Tyrone, and I will be your dungeon master. And I wasn't very good at Pokemon.
Yeah, you were.
I don't think it was.
Ah, you're pretty good.
So, once you guys left off, you had approached the Six Knights of Green, sitting around a small fire, tired and silent in a hut. They offered you a seat, and Rufio sat down with you and let you know that they had terrible news, that they found the stone, but it was too late, for it was now in the hands of Baba Yaga.
Burning logs crackle in a small hut on the west side of Low Erin, a large settlement on the eastern side of the Mercantile, Seven elves sit around the fire with five unlikely companions while a thick fog obscures any vision of the outside world. The leader of those elves, a dashing middle-aged Aladrin named Rufio, sits and speaks with a worry in his tone.
As I said, the young Baba Yaga and her minions retrieved the stone as quick as it struck the earth. I fear we may be too late. She is a formidable foe, and my men and I are uncertain we possess the constitution and strength to lead a full frontal attack. That, and Baba Yaga's hatred for the elves, would leave us at some disadvantage. Will you still fight for the Fae? Will you still retrieve the stone? It will be no easy task.
I'm from the Fae. I want this shit to go away.
Well, wait, I'm not really understanding.
Dario, just say yes.
Who is Baba Yaga? Who is she?
Baba Yaga is a very, very powerful young witch. She is a member of the Court of Stars, as it were. But she is very, very...
Is she more than 5 feet tall? Because Nevelyn will just bury her.
She is very, very tenacious.
Well, is there perhaps any pointers you can let us know about her before we go and meet her? Because we're going to have to do something. Should we go in and attack, or should we go in and talk, or...
I don't know. You'll have to travel to Thos Yaga. It's a swamp to the south.
Thos Yaga.
Does anybody transact with her in this town? Come back from once they find her?
Not many would venture that far. You hear of people going to places and not coming back. People just don't go to Thos Yaga. She is cunning and dangerous, and I would be careful with your words, let alone your actions.
Well, if there's one thing I am, it's careful with my words. Anyway, I gotta get a good look at this stone. So, buddy, I'll go to Asiago with the rest of the boys here. What do you guys say?
Asiago?
Yeah, the swamp.
Fucking love cheese.
Let me tell you about cheese.
So anyway, 5 minutes later, and that's how you prepare a good Asiago.
That would go really good with the roots that we used to grow in the Shadowfell.
There is one thing that I would say before you leave. Her demon, Familia, is very mischievous, dangerous, but precious to Baba Yaga. Not often does it leave her side, but that may be of some advantage.
You said a demon Familia?
No. Yes. Maybe.
Well, we'll be sure to be on the lookout for that, because whatever edge that we can get over Baba Yaga, I suppose, will work in our advantage in negotiation.
Mm. How do you guys know that Baba Yaga has the stone?
We saw her take the stone. We found it, but she already had it. It was in her hands, in her possession. There were some others around her. It was dark. We knew
likely
that it was
story.
Baba Yaga.
So you managed to get away?
We did. They did not notice us. We were scouting quite fiercely.
Fiercely scouting?
We were fiercely scouting.
All right. Well, perhaps you can... Perhaps someone knows the way, or...
Yeah. Is there anyone who knows the way?
There?
Does Spud know the way? Spud, do you know...
Oh, no,
know
he
this
doesn't.
Area?
He told me earlier he doesn't know. He can just stay here.
I don't know what bed you're waking up on, Torque, but it doesn't seem to matter. It's just you're waking up on the wrong side every time.
Oh, it's the right side, buddy. I'm always on the right side.
Maybe you should try the other side. I don't know the way directly to Thos Yaga. I mean, I know where it is. In relation to, the world.
And then Rufio kind of cuts in and he's like,
I do have a map of the Mercandraw that includes Thos Yaga, and I can write the location on your map.
So he unfolds a piece of parchment and he looks at it and runs his finger down the page to the bottom corner, and he draws in Thos Yaga for you on this map. He rolls it up, slides the ring back over, and hands it to you. Dario?
Thank you. I will make sure to hold on to this, and once we figure out who's guiding us through, I'll share it with them.
Thing of beauty.
Way to write on the last map.
Yeah, it's okay. He wasn't even that bad at it. Take it out, take a look. Oh, yeah. Yeah, right down the bottom corner. Perfect.
What does
Slip
it say? Like,
on.
Going, like, turn left at the 18th rock
it's squiggly.
Turn right
it's
at the old tree?
there's a path. There's a path.
He just drew a dick. He drew a dick on the map.
Is there any other enemies that we should be worried about other than Baba Yaga and her hags, I believe?
I do not know if her hags reside in Thos Yaga, but at this point, that is where the stone is and should be. She is the leader of that coven. She should have the stone there. And so, I mean, you should take care, as all of the creatures of the Fae in the Mercantraw are fierce warriors.
I puff my chest out.
And dangerous.
You know how a group of, like, geese is a gaggle of geese? Do you think a group of hags would be a haggle?
I think so.
A haggle of hags? I'm pretty sure it would be. You're welcome, carry on.
Okay, well then, that does make things a little bit dangerous. How long would you say it takes to get down to Thos Yaga? It's like 3 days travel?
Likely take 4 days. 4 days.
4 days.
4 days?
That's some large open ground.
Holy moly.
Who is good at navigating treacherous wildernesses among us? I'm certainly
I'll
not.
I'll do it. I certainly could do it, you guys.
I mean, I'm familiar with
most of this super, world.
You know,
familiar.
Yeah, you know, being somebody that's from the Feywild, I really don't know much. just standing over here, guys.
Allow
I'd
me,
say
everybody.
Let's go with Cordonius.
I believe they were going to provide us with some form of guide, were they not?
I can't remember.
Well, we have a map. We're good.
I'm pretty sure that I'm your guide that was given to you by the queen.
But you don't know
where you're going.
I know the general direction of where I'm going.
Yeah, southeast. Not hard.
Hey, well, let's get the fuck out of here then, yeah?
Let's go. Wait, do we need anything?
Follow Cornelius.
Should we maybe
get the fuck out of here and get the fuck to the Tasty Pete's?
You want to go to Tasty Pete's?
Let's go to Tasty Pete's.
What? How do you know that? I mean, how do you know that?
I just heard a guy talking about it.
Have you been here before?
Those two dudes right there. They were walking, being like, let's go to Tasty Pete's.
I was just
going to
say, if you...
Yeah, one of those guys had a churro or something, and he was talking about Tasty Pete's.
Okay.
How it's the best churro he's ever had.
Okay, yes. Right, Tasty Pete's, yes. Well,
that guy's got a Tasty Pete shirt.
Literally, it says, the best place on earth right on that billboard over there.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yes, so you... yes, the shirt's the dead giveaway. Yes, Tasty Treats. Yes, so there is a nearby tavern just down the way. You must have passed it on your way in, called Rotting Pete's Tasty Treats Tavern and Inn. If you're, you know, tired and weary, you may, he does offer, you know, accommodations and some tasty treats, although sometimes rotten. Also, if you need anything else, there is a general store called Garments and Sticks General Store, which carries most wares, you'll find, and even some fancy items as well.
Hello.
So there's more than just the Garments and Sticks?
Yes.
Okay, all right, well, thank you for your suggestion. And also, we'll check out Tasty Pete's. Perhaps there is some food that is not rotten. I look forward to it.
I will keep my fingers crossed for you.
I love your vote of confidence. All right, guys, who wants to go where before we set out on our intrepid journey?
I would like to get a churro, please. So I think I'm going to go to Rotten Whatever. It seems like the locals just call it Tasty Pete. And when in Rome, so I'll call it Tasty Pete's, and I am going to get myself a churro.
Yeah, I'll come down and get a churro with you, Torque. I can't afford much. Also, where the fuck is Rome?
I'll tag along with you too. Hey, Spud, you want to come?
Send Faerun.
I will go to the Garments and Sticks. I want to see what they have there. But I'll meet up with you guys later for some churros.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Okay, so bye, Dario.
See ya.
Torque, what the fuck is a churro?
Oh, it's
no!
you'll find out. I don't, you know, who knows? I guess our dungeon master will tell us what a churro is.
We have a what? Are we doing bondage? Guys, you know what?
Hey, it's me and Torque going to Tasty Pete's, all
right? There's some trees around here, right?
Oh, there is trees, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to go sit under a tree and just kind of, like, meditate.
Okay, so you Cornelius goes and meditates. Nevelyn and Torque, you're going to Ronnie Pete's Tasty Treats.
Yeah.
And Dario and Gord, you're going where?
Oh, no, I'm going to Tasty Treats.
Oh, you're also going to Ronnie Pete's Tasty Treats, okay.
I'll go to the Garments and Sticks, and I'll come back in a bit.
Good name.
Okay.
Is Spud coming with us?
No, Spud's going to go with Dario.
No. Yeah. Get that mushroom some clothes. God damn it.
He's wearing clothes.
Oh.
Yeah, Torque, you're not actually wearing clothes.
No, Torque has like a little robe thing. Whenever I imagine Spud, he's naked. Just like a stupid little shroom.
Okay, so Nevlin, Torque, Gord, you all walk into Tasty Pete's, and it's pretty run down. The walls are paper thin.
Rotting?
They are near rotting for sure. Some of the wood is definitely rotting. The bar itself is probably the nicest feature in the entire establishment. The tables and chairs are very worn. The floor is disgusting. And you see a very gnarled man standing behind the bar, kind of wearing like a very dirty shirt, like a muscle shirt, with a towel over his shoulder. And he's wiping his snot with the towel and then putting the towel back over his shoulder. And he looks over and he's like, hello.
Hey.
Welcome to Rotting Pete's Tasty Treats Tavern and Inn. What can I get for you?
Hey, are you Pete?
I'm the man himself.
Ah, great to meet you, Pete. What's it gonna take to get a meat in a joint like this?
About 5 coppers.
5 copper, give me 2.
Okay, and he pours you a mead in a very dirty glass. He spits in it first and wipes it out with the rag that was on his shoulder.
Classy.
And then he pours the mead into the glass and he drops it down and does the same to another.
I tell you, Pete, it's nice to be in a classy establishment like this after being on the road for a few days, you know what I mean?
Oh, it's great, isn't it?
Nevlin slams his first pint down, slides the empty across the table.
Oh, hello, Pete, what do you prefer?
Pete, please.
Oh, okay. So Pete, buddy, I was just wondering, so like, do you have to be a certain age to have what he just had? Or like, I was just wondering maybe, I could, I have them all the time. I drink a lot of mead. You can probably tell I have had a lot of mead. But I just don't have my,
you know,
papers.
I'm gonna have to see some identification.
I put my hand on Torque's shoulder and I look at Pete and I go, no.
Pete, no.
I shake my head, no.
Oh, all right, so Pete, alternatively, I was curious, maybe you might have a churro.
I'm not sure what a churro is, but I've got
I think you do, and Torque winks at him.
I've got some grits. Maybe if you can explain to me what a churro is, I might be able to fix you something.
Okay, so you see, I saw these other guys.
It's a doughy sweet pastry that's covered.
It's really long and kind of narrow, kind of, you know, like a shaft, you know, but you got like a napkin down on the bottom of it so you can hold it so your hand doesn't get all sticky.
He looks down at his pants.
Okay.
He looks down at his pants and he shakes his head and he's like, you really are a child.
Okay, well, I guess that's it for me. I'll just have a water. Thanks, Pete.
And he pours you a water and drops it down, and he kind of just shakes his head at you and looks over at you, Gord.
Oh, yeah, I'm good. I just came here for the entertainment.
No, it's a thing of beauty and a place to be entertained. And he kind of, like, shakes his head over to the east side of the tavern, kind of, like, nods his head over. And he's like, there's been children going missing for a few days now. No one's quite sure who's taking them, but there have been word of mysterious cloaked figures in and around town, and the whole thing's gotten bloody suspicious.
Cloaked figures, you say?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of kids? Or, like, were they good fighters? Like, were any of them turtles? Because he wouldn't be able to take a 9-year-old turtle, that's for sure. Not that I'm 9, I'm much older than that. But just saying.
Yeah, these were much younger than yourself. And you look over, you see several people are gathered at the hearth, some in tears, others with faces filled with anger and despair.
Yeah, Gord reacts then. He goes, is it just the children of this town?
Yes.
And has anybody seen where the cloaked figures go?
I don't personally know.
I'll head to the people crying. I'll head over to the hearth.
Okay, and as you walk towards the hearth, one of the men looks to you red-faced and says,
"And who are you? Another one to call us lost to reason? Strangers from the mist? What is your purpose here?"
"I'm just trying to find my way back home to my family. I hear you guys have lost some of yours."
"Our children have and continue to go missing for 3 days now. All hours of the day are we at risk."
"All hours, you say?"
"All hours of the day and the night."
"Has anybody seen them being taken?"
"No, but strange robe figures started appearing in our town around the same time. But the speaker will do nothing. Says they probably just ran off together."
"Well, keep our eyes out for them, that's for sure."
"Well, the only lead that we have is one of the children was seen walking towards the edge of town with one of those robed figures. They evidently head off to the west."
"To the west? That's not on the way to Thusiaga, is it?"
"No."
Torque walks up to Gord and he just like tugs on his shirt and he's like, "Hey Gord, maybe those the robed figure guys, like, maybe they had a couple of churros and they were luring the kids with the churros, because like, why would they walk away with the robed stranger guy?"
"I'm sorry, Torque. If a robed figured man comes up and approaches you with a churro, don't go with him."
"Well, I mean, if he's got a churro, that's a different story."
No, he's lying. Yeah, I mean, I'd assume he's lying. He may actually have a churro, but just stick with us. But you know, I might bring this towards the group."
"Yeah, I mean, I feel kind of bad. Like, I think it's really nice that these guys are, you know, my parents, I disappeared and they didn't really care. So I think it's kind of nice that they kind of care that their kids are gone. So, I mean, I don't know, it makes me feel a little bit bad for them."
"I'm sorry that your parents left you like that. I didn't know that."
"Yeah, whatever. We don't need to talk about it. But maybe we should, like, I don't know, help?
You know what, Tor? That's a great idea. I, got a little something for you." And he pulls out a good berry and he gives it to you.
"A good berry for a good boy?"
"I know it's not a churro, but it's still sweet, so."
"Oh, man. Thanks, Gord. That's pretty nice."
"My pleasure. Let's go convince the gang to go help up some kids."
"Well, okay, but don't tell them that that it was my idea, okay? It's not a big deal."
"Sounds good."
"Okay, let's go."
We're meeting the guys at the bar, though, right?"
"Yeah, they're coming to us.
Yeah, they're coming here. Totally on my coming there after I meditate."
Well, let's pop over to Dario then, and all Spud, right. And you guys are walking up into Garments and Sticks.
Yeah, so it'll be like, you know, this town looks pretty good, and I got these high hopes for Garments and Sticks there. But he said that Rufio, he said that they got some nice stuff in there.
I wouldn't disagree. I mean, they, you know, it's no set of lease, you know, it's no Aldous the Magnificent, but, you know, they definitely have a lot of desirables down here for sure, and undesirables too.
Well, after you there, Spud, let's go inside.
Okay, and you guys walk inside, and there's a jolly gnome. You see his, like, his eyes basically from behind the countertop, as he's too short for his countertop, but he, you see his head disappear, and then he moves the stool, and then all of a sudden you see his whole head and his upper chest as he hops up on top of the stool and he's like, "Well, hello!"
"Well, hello there. Hail and well met."
"Welcome to Garmish and Sticks."
"Oh, God.
Nice to meet you. My name is Dario Sidolfo. Your name, sir?"
"My name is Brandy Bucklebottom."
"Brandy Bucklebottom.
It's a pleasure to meet you."
"Pleasure to meet you as well. I was told by Rufio, one of the Green Knights, that you had the best garments and sticks in town. And
he's
maybe among
lying.
Other things, but I'd like to take a look at your wares."
Yeah. So basically, you can purchase anything that's in the player's handbook at this point.
Okay.
And if you would like him to take a look for a magic item, I can roll on the table.
Actually, I'd like to just, I have a couple of things to sell. Some things that...
Yeah, for sure. I love buying goods.
Well, it's just I don't have any use for my short sword or my studded leather armor that I have here. Don't mind the blood. It's not from anyone that you know, but it is quite a good piece, actually.
Oh, let me have a look here.
Pass them over.
And he's looking at it. He wipes some of the dried blood off of it. And he's like,
"Nice piece indeed. I could probably offer you about
25 gold pieces.
Well, perhaps you can sweeten the pot a little bit. I mean, you are getting a fairly good return on these things when you turn them around and clean them up, of course, and I understand, but...
Yeah, but, you know, I do have to clean up the blood, and there's, you know, quite a bit of tarnish, and, you know, they smell of sandalwood.
Well, okay, fair enough, but how about this? Do you need, perhaps, a little bit of healing? Are you hurt anywhere? Do you have, like, bad joints or anything like that?
No, sir, I am not. I take pride in my good health.
Well, I'm just saying, I am a cleric of Mercure, and Mercure will forego the precursor trappings of death.
You know, how about I give you 26 gold pieces and you get out of my store?
Well, I might want to purchase something next. I won't bother you with the details if that is what is bothersome to you. I understand. Mercule is not for everyone. But Brandy Buckle Bottom, what goods do you have to sell? I mean, I suppose I have about 175 gold pieces.
I mean, you can just take a look at this armor on the walls and the swords. But, I mean... For the real good stuff, you're going to need a lot more than 175 gold pieces.
Okay, I understand. I'll tell you what, though. How about some flasks of oil?
You want to buy some flasks of oil?
Yes, I'd like to possibly set fire to some things.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay, maybe you have, like, some kind of combustible. I probably need to be sure that I can... burn things in the bog, if need be.
I wish that, like, all of our listeners could suddenly see, and so that they could see the huge smile that is, like, permanently on your face whenever you do that stupid voice, Tyrone. Like, yeah, it's like...
You have to smile.
I know, it's so adorable. Oh my god.
I do have some alchemist fire in
stock. Alchemist fire.
I've got about 3 of them.
Terrific. How much do they go for?
50 gold pieces each.
Now, are you sure that I can't do anything to kind of lower the price a little bit here? It is quite expensive. But don't call me for penny pinching or anything. But if you want a returning customer, I'm going to be coming back through here. I might have more by that time.
Roll persuasion.
Oh, no, it's not good. That's only like a 9 plus. Yeah, it's a 10. It's just a solid 10.
A 10? Okay, well, he rolled a 14, and I'm assuming he's probably got, like, quite a bit of insight being a shopkeeper, so.
He's like, yeah, you know, it's,
You drive a hard
bargain. It's all about establishing credit, and you ain't got none. So just, you know, maybe next time you come through, maybe next time we can talk some more about discounts and so on.
All right, I understand. Here's 150 gold pieces, and I hand over, like, the biggest sack of gold that I got. The only one that I got.
Okay, and he gives you 3 vials of alchemist fire. 3 flasks of alchemist fire. For those of you who do not know, i.e. listeners, this sticky adhesive fluid ignites when exposed to air. As an action, you can throw this flask up to 20 feet, shattering it on impact. You make a ranged attack against a creature or object, treating the alchemist fire as an improvised weapon. On a hit, the target takes 1d4 damage at the start of each of its turns, as it is on fire. A creature can end this damage by using its own action to make a DC 10 dexterity check to extinguish the flames. Okay.
Well, see you later.
All right. Goodbye. Goodbye there, Brandy. Blarney Bucklebottom. Bucklebottom, yes, of
Brandy
course.
Brandy Bucklebottom.
Bye, Barney. And then I leave.
Nice.
You guys leave garments and sticks. Are you heading back to Tasty Pete's then, I'm assuming?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, and Cornelius. Oh,
Cornelius is sitting on a tree. Better get down to Tasty Pete's. And I head to Tasty Pete's.
Okay, so everyone is now heading to Tasty Pete's. And a few moments later, Nevlin, Torque, and Gord, you see Dario, Spud, and Cornelius all walk into Tasty Pete's.
Well, anything interesting?
There's some good items and such, but lots of selection, but I can only get a few things here and there. The atmosphere in this place seems to be quite down, if you don't mind my saying. Is everything okay here?
Oh yeah, it's real good. Hey Dario, do you feel like getting a mead? They've got some real good mead here. Feel like getting a couple of them?
I look over to the bar and I see the sticky looking fellow and his gross rag and everything, and I'll be like,
you know what? I don't have purified food and water at this time, so I will wait for the blessings of Mercule to allow me to eat in this establishment.
Nevlin's gonna slide his second mead over to Torque. Yeah.
And Gord's going to slide it back.
No, Gord doesn't see. Gord doesn't see.
Nevlin takes it back.
Right, Tyrone.
Very well, Gord.
Yeah, it's all good.
I don't remember.
And he waits till Gord is looking away, and he's going to slide the meat over again. But while it's sliding, he casts Minor Illusion.
Yes.
And when he finishes sliding it over, it is a glass of water.
Yeah! Oh my God. Torque is
Nevlin winks at Torque.
Yeah, thank you.
We do not condone children drinking, everybody. We just want to make that clear.
I'm very thirsty. I better get some hydration. Here goes down all the water all at once. Here we go. And Torque is like pretty nervous. He's actually never had mead ever.
Yeah, cheers, Torque.
As Torque says that, Gord then looks over and goes, where'd he get that water from?
And he's drank it. It's gone. He drank it. He slammed it back.
Torque, roll me a constitution saving throw.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
How high is the DC on your minor illusion there, Nevlin?
Let me get that for you.
What's my constitution? So Torque rolled a 14.
Okay, you managed to like chug back this entire mead and you're fine. You burp and then you're like totally digging it.
My strong turtle stature absorbed it.
A 14 there, Gord.
Yeah, I definitely know it's beer. I rolled a 15 on my insight. Yeah, that's alright. I'll just look at Nevlin.
Yes, well, it looks like I came in at just the right time. Everyone is bonding so well.
Yeah. Dario.
Yeah, Gord. He can cut throats, but he can't have a beer, right?
Yeah, that's
a pretty good point.
Yeah, he's telling the truth.
All right, there, Torque. Let's go. Maybe go get you some more water outside here.
Yes, you told me about the churros being in this place, right? I'd like to have one of those.
Oh yeah, you should. go ask Pete over there. Go ask him about a churro, Dario.
Hey Pete, I was told by my compatriot here that you guys sell churros. I don't suppose you have any of those currently on hand. I never had one, but it sounds delicious.
You're talking to me.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, I was in space flying away in the ethers. I don't know what a churro is.
I believe it's like a pastry with granulated sugar on the outside. It is long and in a shell.
I've never heard of this before.
It's sticky as well, but it's very delicious. It's good when you put the whole thing in your mouth.
Oh, I've got some goblin fat in the back. I suppose I could...
Goblin fat?
Put it on the stove and heat up some... goblin fat and drop
roll
some...
roll it in sugar.
Pastry and roll it in sugar after.
Well, you know what? If you can pull it off, Pete, and I'm sure you can, then I will have it.
Yeah, well,
Pete, make it too.
He gets to work on it. He starts chopping up goblin limbs and getting all the fat together and throws the fat into a big pot and gets the pot going over the stove. And you see him in the back kneading dough. And he's going to be on that a while, I think.
I'll sit down with the rest of you guys and I'll be like, okay, so we're going to be going out into the wilderness pretty soon.
Maybe a change of plans there, Dario.
A change of plans,
Gord had this idea that I'm not really cool with, but I mean, you know, tell him about it.
I turned from Torque back to you, Gord. I'll be like, so what is it?
So there's some kids missing from the town. Wouldn't you know it, some hooded figures, Dario, have been taking them.
There's always children.
I might assume.
Weird thing to say.
Shadarkai, especially considering that it's only been a couple days.
Shadarkai, well, that changes everything. It means that they're chasing us or something like that, and they're taking these children for sustenance in their dark magics, right?
Yeah,
something
probably like with Troth.
I mean, I didn't think that, but.
I don't know, I'm just putting two and two together. These sound like dangerous people.
Yeah, well. I was hoping maybe we could make a little detour before we head down to check out these stones. Mm. Maybe do some good in this world.
Hey, listen, I think we're doing quite a bit of good in this world as is. I mean, if we're going to go through this, if we're going to go on this quest, you know, searching for everyone's lost mom and watch chain, then we ain't going to get very far, you know what I mean?
Which direction are these kids at?
West. They've been going to the west.
And Low Aran is like down to the southwest or something?
Southeast.
No, you're in Low Aran. And Low Aran is in the east of the Mercantile.
Thasiaga is what you're
thinking.
Thasiaga, that's right.
Cheese, please.
Thasiaga, okay. Well, I mean, if it's in sort of a roundabout way, maybe we can spare the time. It's already going to take 4 days to get to Thasiaga. Maybe what's one more day? We could probably get some money out of it.
That would be five.
That'd be five? Well, I mean, true enough. You're not wrong, Nilton.
Yeah, if it takes
a magician over here.
Yeah, with no stones.
Yeah, I know, guys. It sounds like a really boring, bad idea, but I guess it sounds like we're doing it. Okay, we've decided. Damn it, Gord, you won us over.
Hey, Spud.
Yeah.
Maybe
he's smoking a pipe. He's smoking a pipe in the back.
Just Sherlock Holmes style.
Yeah.
No, he's not
Spud,
that cool.
Is there any way that you could contact the Queen and see if this would be something that she might want us to look into?
I don't really have the. She can talk to me, that I could talk back to her when she talks to me, but I don't really have the ability to talk to her.
He doesn't have any power, guys.
All right. Well.
But he is a fun guy.
I guess hands up. Hands up. Who'd like to go help some families and save some kids and possibly maybe figure out what the Shadarkai or these hooded figures are doing so far down? Or we can look for a stone that's going to stay with an evil witch who we probably will have to bargain with and might die. I'm just saying. And
I mean, there's something to be said for that. I mean, there could be some information attained. And just by extension, we save some kids. I guess that's okay. Kids grow up to be people too, right, Tork?
Yeah, I mean, as a kid myself, I can attest to that. Reluctantly, I guess I'll agree with, like, the kids in the cloaks. Yeah.
All right.
Well, I ain't knocking down Baba Yaga's door alone, so I guess the world will have to wait.
All right. Cornelius, are you in?
Well, considering I'm part of the crew, yes, of course.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, what would we do if
this
you said
this
no?
Is very important. Anyway. I just leave. I'll be back in 3 episodes.
Yeah. Just wait here.
Yeah. No, I know this is really important to Gord, so we got to do it.
Yeah.
For Gord.
I mean, I'm not doing it for Gord. I'm doing it partially for myself.
Dario,
as well.
Shut
but,
up.
It's okay, anyways.
And I mean, honestly, the Queen doesn't have any way of knowing that it took us 4 days to get to Low Aran instead of 3 days.
Oh, okay, yeah. Spud. So you like to bend the rules a little bit.
But it doesn't matter. You stay here, Spud, and we'll just be back in a little while, okay? You stay here, hold down the fort. Maybe we'll help with the churro recipe or something, okay? Maybe they'll call it a Spud churro. And maybe you start working at the tavern here and you start a nice little life.
Dork.
You start.
I am so sorry, but I think you had too much to drink to make decisions.
All right. Is there something that you want to talk about, Tork? Because I get the feeling that you really don't want Spud around. I mean, it seems really clear to me. Have the rest of you guys noticed this?
Yeah, I've noticed that too. I've been trying
to. I don't think I've been hiding it.
So,
I don't think I've been trying to hide it.
Let's get to the bottom of this. What happened?
Do you feel threatened by
Oh no, you guys of course Spud. Choose the one time that Tork is a little inebriated to get the truth out of him. Oh god.
We're I'm an evil character. I don't think you knew that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you guys have met the guy. He's just not all that good. He's just not all that great. You
actually,
know?
Tork, I have to come to Spud's defense. He actually saved you during one battle. Did you not notice this?
Remember that.
But also vice versa, Tork. You have also saved Spud.
No, that was not me. Surely that wasn't me. I think you're confusing me with another turtle.
But Tork, we work as a team, and you're the only turtle. You're the only one.
Yeah.
And you're in our group.
I know.
We need to start, like...
You're the only 450-pound monstrosity.
Okay, Spud, that was a little bit much.
Spud, that was uncalled for.
Uncalled for, Spud. Now I know why she hates you.
Spud is sitting beside three empty pints of mead.
Spud, how old are you?
See what I'm working with? That guy, he's just not a nice guy.
All right, guys, well, we should go see if we can help these kids. And then while we're doing that, maybe really start thinking about Baba Yaga.
Let's do that.
Make some plans along the way.
And Spud, put that fourth beer down, please.
he puts it down reluctantly. He looks at it like three or four times before he finally removes his hand from it. He's like, okay. I mean, I thought we were, you know, I thought it was the season to, you know, get day drunk. But okay, let's go save some kids.
You can't handle your booze.
Nevlin Mage hands his beer that he just put down over to his own hand and drinks it down as he's leaving.
All right. Oh no! I quickly run back. I go back inside and I say, Pete, where's my churro?
Yeah.
I'm working on it. It's gonna be a bit wild. Gotta proof.
Are you kidding me?
I've gotta proof the dough.
Okay, I tell you what, Pete. Just work on it, okay? I'm sorry, I have to go for now. So I toss him a gold coin and then I head out the door.
Right. Hey, look at that, Dario. Maybe there will be a reward for this little side quest after all.
Yeah, churros! Churros for all. Fuck yeah.
Reward is honor.
No, Torb wants a goblin churro. Goblin churro, for sure.
So, you guys have all decided to head west and...
Save some kids.
So, you guys get to the edge of town. Can one of you guys make me a survival check?
I will roll a survival check.
Okay, go ahead and roll.
13.
Yeah, you managed to notice some tracks.
Guys, there's some tracks. They're fresh.
You pick up those tracks... You follow them?
Oh, yeah. Guys, we're going to follow these tracks? Look and see these tracks here? I found them.
Yes, Cornelius. They look like children's feet.
Or maybe like they were wearing ropes?
I don't know if we can figure that out from tracks, Torque, but...
They look like sandal tracks and boot tracks and maybe
sandals
some
with socks?
Birkenstocks with socks, yeah.
Hippies.
And yeah, there are some smaller children tracks as well. But as you head along, you walk for maybe 15 minutes. Roll me another survival check.
Would anyone care to help me?
Yeah, I'll give you a hand there, Cornelius.
Oh,
I used to track for a living.
Yeah, I figured as much. Oh, 13.
You pick up some tracks.
How heavy are they?
You managed to follow the tracks brilliantly. For another 15 minutes, even through the swamp, you manage to find the tracks as soon as they come out of the water, and you keep the party going in the right direction, still westerly, and you travel on for another 15 minutes or so. Roll me one last survival check.
I think I broke Caitlin there for a second.
You did a little bit.
Hey, Gord, can I get a hand again?
Yeah. I think if we keep on following...
All right, so, 22.
Okay. Yeah, so you walk for that 15 minutes and you come up onto a bit of a clearing, and when you arrive to that site, you see rogue figures in the distance, and you see three of them sitting around a campfire in small six cages with the missing children inside.
What time of day is that again? We're midday?
It's midday, yeah. It's like a lunch fire. You also notice that they have the same red stripe on their clothes, so Gord would have been right in assuming that these were Shadar Kai.
Ooh.
At the moment, the Shadar Kai do not notice you.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry, how many rogue figures did we see?
Three.
How many childs are there?
Six.
Well, do you guys want to do the bait and switch?
The baby. Switch?
Wait. Who's the bait?
I was going to say, we could dress Nevlin up as a child.
So, back
ain't
in...
Ain't no one dressing Nevlin up, all right?
I bet you if you ask Spud, he would do it.
That's good. That's Spud?
I mean, I suppose that I could. You know, better if me and Torque both wedded. You know, two kids for the price of one.
Well, the
you know?
I like the enthusiasm, but I mean, Torque's over 400 pounds. You said so yourself.
Right. Yeah, you really pointed that out earlier, bud.
You know, I feel like we should just stroll on in there and murder them. And that's not normally something I would say, but considering the circumstances of what's happening to my, you know, my world, and these guys have kidnapped children, fuck them.
I agree with you. That's why I think you should all hide. I'll confront them, and whichever one stays, we'll have the advantage on them all.
I will come with you, Gord, and I'll turn into a dog.
Like a cute little puppy?
Like a...
A Pomeranian?
Like, no, nothing like that.
Like a hound.
Yeah.
This makes more sense, Gord. At least you'll have someone to back you up in the immediate.
Yeah.
And for the rest of us, we'll rush
and
in.
And they won't even know that he's not just a little puppy, you know?
Like a blue healer.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, Dork.
Dario, Nevlin, you've got some range on you, right?
Yes.
Dork, can you use that crossbow?
I got that crossbow that you never wanted me to have, but I got one after anyway. So remember, yeah, I have a crossbow. Don't worry.
Yeah. So Spud, other than your swords there, can you throw a javelin? And I hand him one.
He grabs it. He falls over just with the sheer weight of it.
I don't think that I can throw a javelin. Maybe if you had a smaller one, but these seem a little bit above my pay grade, if you know what I mean.
Nevlin tosses him a dagger.
Pass me the spear.
Throw him the dagger.
Why don't you give him like a cute little slingshot?
You throw him the dagger and it just like, it goes right past his leg and then just like fires into the ground beside his foot. And he's like, yeah. And he picks up the dagger. He's like, I suppose I could throw this.
Ty, what's the, looking out at them in a clearing, what is there for cover out there and things to hide?
There's quite a fair amount of trees around in the vicinity, and also the water is maybe a few feet deep.
Ooh, where's the water? Like, what kind of
water? And there's tall grass.
Like a pond? Because I don't know if you knew, but Torque can hold his breath for an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Still can't swim worth shit.
No, he's a horrible swimmer, but boy, he's got lung capacity.
All right, so Cornelius looks at everyone and says, look, if I can get up close enough to them without them seeing me, I can create a distraction that will lead them away from the cages, and then we could surprise them. There's only three.
Well, I mean, what would it be, Cornelius? Tell me what.
Yeah, what's your distraction?
Oh, it's a surprise.
To them or to us?
I don't.
So I rolled for the weather, and it's just overcast again. So it's nice. It's about as normal as it gets in the Mercadraw, but it is foggy, and but your vision is not obscured.
Okay. Be nice for a photo shoot. if we were interested.
Pushing forward. Okay. What are you guys gonna do?
All right, well, Cornelius, you gonna be a dog?
Yeah, I'll turn into a dog, and I'll come with you, and I'll save my my trick that's up my sleeve for another day.
Dario.
I go up to you, Gord, and I'm like, may the force of Mercule keep you safe, and I cast a shield of faith on you.
Oh.
Before we get started with anything, Nevlin casts a mage armor on himself.
Well, like, do you think that maybe Gord and Puppy Cornelius going up there will be kind of its own little distraction in itself? And, like, some of the cages are a little bit far away from these bad guys, and, like, maybe I could, like, you know, go to one of the furthest away ones while you're talking to them, and I can try and, like, maybe it would be a distraction enough in itself, and, like, when you're talking to them, I could go up to, like, the furthest cage away, and then, like, at least maybe try and use my my thieves tools, you know, and, like, get one of the kiddos out of there.
Well, do you think the kids are safer in cages while we deal with these guys? Or, I mean, if we start opening it up, letting them run around, who's to say what's going to happen to them, you know?
Yeah, I'll say, you know what, Tor? We need you. As much as I don't usually condone violence, I know that these Shatter Kai are a little bit maniacal, and, well, you hit hard, so.
Hey, Gord, if you would prefer that I just murder, you can just say so, because you know I really love a good murder, and if that's what you want me to do, hey, I'm all on board with that.
You can murder these people.
All right, let's get going, guys.
All right.
That's super cool.
Okay, so that's going to be your plan. And Gord, you're going to go on with Cornelius to talk to these...
Yeah, I don't know if anybody wants to set up or move themselves in a hiding position or anything, or...
Yeah.
So I hide off to the side across from these Shatterkai.
Okay.
So about how far away are we as we're plotting this from the Shatterkai themselves?
You're about 50, 60 feet away. There's a clear path to them, but you're kind of, you're in the tall grass and there's some trees and stuff. They don't notice you yet.
Okay.
Nevlin's going to stay pretty close to where he is now because these guys are in range for most of his stuff. So I think he's probably going to go hide in a bush with Dario sitting in a tree.
Okay.
Torque is going to also hide behind a tree, but he's going to attempt to get a little bit closer, like hide behind a closer tree, but okay, still off to the side though.
Okay, do you want to roll me a stealth check then?
Not really, but I will. Come on, Torquey boy. Oh, 21, please.
Hey, not bad.
Yeah, they still don't notice you. You make it to the trees that you're trying to get to without notice.
Okay, so Torque kind of wades through the marsh a little bit, and he's just going to go, like, kind of 20 feet-ish or so away from where he started, and he's just hiding behind a tree. So he's just kind of across the marsh in front of where Nevlin and Dario are hiding behind the other bush.
To the west of Dario and...
Exactly, Nevlin. in between the bad guys and Nevlin and Dario.
Okay. Spud is going to cross also, and he's going to try to hide a little bit lower down towards the south. Got a lot of dex.
As a mushroom?
Yeah, he's nimble.
He's soft.
14 plus 4 is 18.
Oh, shit.
And roll opposing, and yeah, he's the same. They do not see him, do not notice him, and he hides down in the trees, sort of opposite you, Torque, but to the south.
Great.
So you guys are going to go in then?
All right. Do you want to, Cornelius, do you want to lead the way and maybe lead him a little ways away from the kids? Is that cool?
You play a good dog.
He's already a dog.
I know. That's why I was... Dogs understand, human. All right, well, let's go then.
Okay. So you guys are going to cross there's a big log just in front of you guys that you can cross the marsh and then make it to where they are about 10 feet away from where they're sitting down at the campfire.
So we'll make it to about just across the log.
Okay, you guys get across the log and they still don't notice you yet.
Jesus, they're dumb.
I'm actually not going to risk it on this one, and I pull out my glaive.
You pull out your glaive?
Pull out my glaive.
Okay.
And from this distance, I could hit the one closest to us.
Yeah, so when you pull out your glaive...
Oh, God.
Yeah, roll me a sleight of hand, Sid. Okay. Gord.
Sleight of hand with your huge-ass glaive.
It's only an 11.
Oh, yeah. Okay, they totally hear you pull your glaive out. I'm going to need you guys to...
I thought you were just going to talk to them.
No, they see you pull the glaive. The one that's farthest west sees you pull your, like, hears and then sees you pull your glaive out and alerts the other two immediately, and I'm going to need everyone to roll initiative.
Classic Gord pulls a 1.
Oh, Cornelius got a 15.
Dario got a 16.
Torque rolled a 17.
Nevlin got a dirty 20.
Jesus.
Nice.
I do look at them and I go, I just want to talk.
With this massive weapon.
Okay, Spud, what's your dex, bro? 4. So 22.
He's dexterous because he doesn't have bones.
Spud. That's exactly true. It's going to be Spud's turn first.
Oh, God.
And Spud chucks a dagger.
No! You fucking idiot!
He chucks a dagger right at the Shatterkai fighter.
Spud!
Oh, and he rolls a 1.
Oh, yeah. My God!
Does he have advantage, though, because he's hidden?
Oh, yes, I guess he would. Yeah, okay.
Shit.
There we go. Dun, 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 dun. Spud. Okay. So, 14, that's going to be a... So, 14 plus 4 for an 18. So, he's going to hit.
Lucky.
And so that's going to be 1 plus 4 for 5 damage to the fighter. So yeah, he chucks this dagger from the trees, and it comes from nowhere, and it stabs the Shatterkai fighter, like, right in the arm.
Greatest Gord's like, I want to talk.
By the way, we have you surrounded.
Yeah. And then it's going to be the Shadarkai mage. And the mage is going to back away up towards the children to the north.
Oh, God damn it.
And he is going to cast mage armor on himself.
Damn it.
And that is going to be his turn. And then it's going to be Neblin's turn.
This looks like a job for a magic missile.
Yeah.
There we go.
Perfectly aimed.
Every
literally.
Time.
Three, six, eight, 11 total force damage.
Sweet. Yeah, you fire these magic missiles again out of the tree, seemingly coming from nowhere, and three of these missiles just rocket through and dodge around the trees, making contact with the Shadarkai mage, each one smashing into its body, dealing 11 damage?
Yeah. Surprise, motherfucker!
He is very taken back. Taken aback?
Taken aback.
Taking the back.
Taking the back.
Then it's going to be the Shadarkai fighter that's closest to you, Gord. And as he runs towards you, he looks up at you and he says, "Funny way of showing it." And he draws his rapier and he is going to multi-attack you. 9 plus 5 is 14 to hit. So miss.
Does not hit.
And 17 plus 5 for a 23.
Does hit.
22, sorry. And that's going to deal 1d8 plus 3 damage for 6 damage. Then it's going to be Torque's turn.
Okay, well, first things first, Torque is just going to give a big ol' eye roll in Spud's general direction for just, like, acting so feverishly. So he's behind the tree, and he's going to run towards the tree, and he's going to do the thing, you know, when you, like, you run up, and then you launch yourself backwards, and you do, like, a backflip, and you land it really cool. He's going to do that for no reason other than to just show off. He's just going to kind of peek around to the side of the tree, the north part of the tree, and then he's going to pull out his crossbow, and he's going to say, "Surprise!"
First off, can you please roll me a dexterity
check, oh, God damn it.
Please?
I'd love to. 17, he does the cool thing.
You do manage to run up the tree and do the backflip and land, like, beautifully and elegantly on the shore of
He looks cool as shit. Swamp. He looks cool as shit.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And then you can go ahead with your crossbow.
Thank you.
You hear from the bushes to the east,
"Hey, Torque, that was sweet."
See, that's all he needed. That's all he
I wanted. Totally saw that.
And thanks, Cornelius. And then Torque rolled a 17 to attack.
Yeah, that's gonna hit.
Fuck yeah, take that, Spud. Okay, so that'll be 8 damage.
Okay, and your crossbow bolt flies through the air, sticking this mage in the left thigh, just missing an artery. So yeah, the magic missiles smoke this mage, and then all of a sudden he is not approached, but sidestepped by a backflipping turtle that shoots a crossbow, and the bolt lands in his leg, and he screams out in pain. With that, it's gonna be Dario.
All right, then I draw the runic symbol for a bell of Mercule in the sky in front of me, and I project it towards him. He hears the dolorous tones,
the bell of death.
And he has to make a DC 13 wisdom saving throw.
Wisdom saving throw. This is the mage?
The mage, yeah. The guy who's already been hurt.
Okay.
That's going to be important later.
Oh, he rolled a natural 20.
Oh,
what?
No.
Oh, he totally blocks it. So then I'm like, oh, shit. And I run past Neblin. I kind of push past him. And I get, like, partway up the log, moving towards Cornelius and Gord.
Okay, just coming up behind them. All right.
Yeah.
And is that your turn?
And that's my turn.
Okay. Well, next is going to be Cornelius in dog form.
All right. So Cornelius is going to leap forward and do a bite attack on that Shadarkai that's right there.
Shadarkai
guy. It's only a 7.
Seven's not
going to
do it.
So then what I'm going to do is I am going to disengage. I got 40 movement.
Okay.
So I'm going to disengage back to where I was, and then as a bonus action, I'm going to bark at him.
Okay.
It needs to make a wisdom saving throw. The DC is 11.
Okay. He got a 13 plus 1 is 14.
Okay, so yeah, nothing happened. I barked at him.
Okay.
And that concludes my turn.
This guy's like, pesky fucking dog. He looks back to his buddy, and it is now his buddy's turn. His buddy is going to run straight forward towards you, Gord, and he's going to multi-attack. That's an 8. That's not going to hit. 13 won't hit. A 9 plus 5 is a 14. It also won't hit, if I'm correct.
That will not.
Sweet for you, then.
Shield of Mercule protects you.
He comes in and he swipes at you twice, missing narrowly, but it is now going to be your turn, Gord.
Gord hears in the back of his head,
"They've taken these children. They've taken your children. How will you avenge them, Gord? Gord hand."
And Gord goes into a rage and just begins hacking and slashing. So he'll attack the one right in front of him with a reckless attack.
Okay.
And that's only a 9.
Yeah, 9's not going to do it. Is that going to be your turn?
Yeah, he's also going to move as he slashes to be in front of the other fighter.
Okay.
And be like, "You better run while you have a chance."
Never.
They're really good at trash talking.
And then it's going to be Spud's turn. Spud is going to run right up behind the guy that's doing all this trash talking, and he's going to come at him with both of his short swords.
Do it, Spud. He's way cooler than Torque.
So you got a 16 plus 6 for 22 is a hit for the first one, and a 10 plus 6, which is a hit for the second one as well.
He's kicking the shiitake out of them.
So he's going to do nice.
You thought of that all week.
No.
So this guy's going to take 2d6 plus 8 damage.
All month.
7 plus 8 is 15 damage as he just slashes into this guy's back.
Fuck, that's pretty good,
ripping
actually
his flesh open. And
also, I like that Spud is a mushroom, but he's like has the name of a potato. I think about that a lot.
I know.
it's like when you have a dog and you name it Bear or something.
it's what his friends call him.
Right.
Yeah, it's not weird at all.
And
yeah.
Also the people who don't like
it
him.
Is, no, he's asked you several times to call him Damon. At least once anyway. It is gonna be the Shadar Kai Mage's turn, and the Shadar Kai Mage is gonna step around some of these cages up to the north and is gonna move towards you, Torque.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
And he's gonna cast Magic Missile at you.
Twice. No!
Yeah.
No!
He's gonna roll up his
the one thing!
3d4 plus 3 damage.
Oh no!
It's gonna be 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 plus 3 damage for 11 damage as these three magic missiles fire out of the cans and smash into your shell.
Yeah, whatever.
Uh-oh.
Fine.
And then it's gonna be Nevlin's turn.
Alright, so Nevlin wades out into the water, closing the distance on this mage, and pulls out his staff, and again you see him use the slingshot on the end of his staff. He pulls it back, and as he pulls it, whatever he's got inside of that shot, or inside of that sling rather, starts to glow all kinds of different colors. And he's levels it at the mage and releases. And I am casting Chromatic Orb.
Dope.
I'm casting it as a second level spell, so it's going to do 4d8 total damage if I hit.
Oh. Shit, I didn't know colors could do that.
Okay, roll the hit, man.
It's a 12 with my attack bonus of 6. That's an 18.
Oh, yeah. That's a hit.
What?
Color him dead.
So that'll be 4d8. And I get to choose what kind of damage type.
Yep.
I think I'll just use force damage.
Okay.
This one. 22 damage.
Fuck yeah.
This thing rips forth from your slingshot on your staff, and the orb starts moving through the air as it flies towards this dude, and this ball of force, of chromatic force, smashes into his face and then dissipates. And when the orb dissipates, you see a caved-in skull as he drops to the ground.
Mine.
Fuck yeah.
Dario looks over to the side, he hears this, mine. It's like, was that a duck?
It's more so like...
Oh my god!
As he drops to the ground beside some cages that are there, these small children see this happen, and they start screaming. And now there are screaming children everywhere.
My household at 3 p.m.
Starting to regret rescuing these children.
Then it goes to the Shatterkai fighter directly in front of you, Gord. And he is going to hop around a cage, and he's going to move directly into the shore line, the water directly behind you. And he is going to attack, flanking you at advantage.
When I do reckless attack?
Oh, right. I forgot you did reckless attack.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever.
They get advantage on me. Normal Sunday.
First one's going to be a 17 plus 5 to hit for a 22.
Yep.
And second one is going to be a nat fucking 20.
Oh, shit.
Damn.
So I will roll up first for the 1d8 plus 3 damage on the first hit. It's going to be 6 plus 3 is 9 damage on the first hit.
Okay, half to 4 or 5?
Do it to 4. And the second attack is going to be 11 plus 1d8 plus 3. And that's a fucking 1. So it's going to be 11 plus 4 for 15.
So 7?
Yes. Rounded down and halved because of your rage.
Because of rage.
And then it's going to be Torque's turn.
Well, that nasty mage out of the mix. Torque's just going to kind of pivot a little bit, and he's going to turn around to his south. He's going to go down a couple feet to the fighter that's behind Gord, and he's going to drop his crossbow and pull out his short sword, and he's going to attack him from behind with his short sword.
Okay, roll the hit at advantage because you're flanking.
First one is a 19.
That's a hit.
And that'll be it. The other one was like a...
Okay, so roll damage.
That'll be... Oh, boo. 5 damage with his short sword.
Yep.
But then he'll use his bonus action to use an unarmed attack with his little turtle claws.
Okay. Roll the hit.
That'll be a 22. Yeah.
22 does it.
Fuck, Torque is on fire today. And that'll be another 6 damage, please.
Yeah. You stab at this thing with your short sword. And you get right into the flesh. And as you pull out, you come in with your turtle claws and you scratch across his back. He's starting to bleed quite heavily now.
Yeah.
Is that going to be your turn?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, then it's going to be Dario.
Okay. Well, Dario is running in that direction. He's across the water and running across the log. He sees Gord is taking some damage, and Torque has attacked this other guy from behind, and he's like, you're the next one. And he calls on Hercule and chimes the toll of death above him.
Sweet. What's the save?
The save is DC 13.
13, right. He gets a 15 plus 1 for 16.
And at this point, Dario's like, oh no. And he runs forward and jumps into the water beside Gord and beside that fighter.
Okay. Yeah, you jump into the water. And that's going to be your turn?
That's my turn.
Okay, and it's going to be Cornelius.
Cornelius is going to back up 10 feet, and then as a bonus action, I'm going to kind of jump up and turn back into my form, and I'm going to go, bark, bitches! And then I'm going to cast Scorching Ray. I'm going to cast 2 of them at the guy over by Spud, and then I will cast the third ray at the individual that is in front of Dario.
Okay.
So the first 2... going to be a dirty 20 and a 15.
Both hits.
And then the other one is a natural 20.
Fuck
yes.
Okay,
Ooh.
So...
Cornelius on fire.
Well, no, not me. Somebody else.
Yeah.
All right, so the first guy is going to take...
Oh.
4 and 4. So 8 damage to the guy by Spud.
Okay.
And then the other one will take 12 plus... 7 for a total of 19 damage.
How do you do it?
Woohoo!
Well, he lights on fire and he screams and everyone just stands there and watches. In a matter of seconds, he's just skin melting and he drops to his knees. And at the end, he's just this charred skeleton. Think Uncle Owen, but kneeling.
Okay, well, yeah, as his flaming body drops into the water and rolls down off the shore into the water, the flames slowly go out and you can see what was his corpse. And it is smoking. The top of it is smoking very much like Uncle Owen. And the children again in the cages. The children again in the cages are screaming.
And oh no.
Oh no. Is that going to be your turn, Cornelius?
Looking down at my hands in amazement and a little bit of shock and awe, yes, that would be my turn.
All right, then it's going to be the other Shadarkai fighter, the last Shadarkai fighter. He's feeling a little bit outnumbered, but he bites his lip and he goes in for a multi-attack on you, Gord. 12 plus 5 is 17 to hit.
Yeah, just on my armor class.
And for the second one, 19. So both hits. You're going to get 2d8 plus 6. So it's going to be 5 plus 6 is 11 more damage to you, Gord, as he slashes into you twice. You barely feel it as your rage consumes you. And then it's going to be your turn.
Yeah, I'm going to turn around to him and be like, kidnap children. You kill them. You torture them. I don't care what the fuck you do. And I'm going to roll to attack recklessly.
Okay.
14?
Yeah, 14 does it.
All right.
Roll it to damage.
15 damage.
Yeah, you shit. Slash into him hard with your glaive. And it takes a massive chunk of his flesh off with it. As it drops to the ground, he immediately grabs for it with one of his hands. As he presses his wrist into his belly, he bleeds heavily.
As I do that, I step in front of the cage, protecting the children. Still in a relentless fury of just destruction.
Okay.
And that's my turn.
Spud looks at you and he's like, fuck yeah, guard. And he runs down in behind the Shadarkai fighter and he attempts to multi-attack at advantage because he is flanking. And 16 plus 6 is gonna hit. That's a 22, I think. And 17 plus 6 is gonna be 23 for a hit as well. And then dude's gonna take 2d6 plus 8 damage, and that's going to be 5 plus 8 damage for 13 damage, and the Shadarkai fighter is looking not good as Spud just relentlessly slashes at this guy's back, standing right behind him, laying into his flesh. He is not looking good. His skin begins to turn pale. And with that, it's going to be Nevlin's turn.
Fuck him up, Nevlin!
Yeah. Yeah. Nevlin's going to come down a little bit, just to the other side of the fallen log that you guys have been using to cross, as I have not once crossed this river. And,
It's stagnant. It's a swamp.
This swamp. I said swamp, right?
Yeah.
I think I've called it pretty much everything since...
the body of water.
Nevlin extends his arms and a brilliant bluish glow emanates from the sleeves of his badass wizard cloak as he casts Witch Bolt at the last remaining Shadarkai.
Okay.
Ooh, it's definitely a hit. It's 24 to hit.
Yeah, that's a hit.
And where's my universe dice? There we go. It'll do 1d12 lightning damage.
Yep.
But I hold the connection with concentration, so on my next turn it'll be an automatic 1d12 lightning damage.
For sure.
Oh damn, and that's 12 damage.
Shit.
Oh, damn.
So,
yeah, Nevi, get him.
As you guys are laying into this dude, you see Nevlin put his arms up and move his hands in a magical way, and then everything stops. And you just hear the crackle in the sky, and through the fog and the clouds, this massive purple and black bolt shoots down from the sky and just fucking electrocutes the shit out of this guy. And his fucking body is convulsing and shaking. You see one of his eyes pop out, and there's like blood coming out of his mouth.
Yeah.
And he just fucking takes this whole hit, and then his fucking like head just explodes, and he falls to the ground dead, just like convulsing, and his body is smoking and shit.
And the children wept.
And the children screamed.
What a shame, well, murder.
Two out of three ain't bad. And Nevin looks at the children all screaming. He's like, okay, what got into them?
I believe this is something a little too traumatizing for the infantile brains that they possess.
Too bad we don't have churros.
He's on the... he's on it. Like, he had that system.
Those churros aren't for the kids. They're for us. Let's get that straight.
We've succeeded in destroying the captors. Let's say we get these children back. What's the deal?
You guys have cleared the battle.
Gord, seeing the guy electrocuted in front of him, begins to calm down and looks over to Nevlin and says, good job.
Yeah, that was crazy, Nevlin. You blasted off. And Spud, I saw you do some cool stuff. And hey, Tork!
Yeah.
That was a sweet flip!
Yeah, thanks. I'm pretty good at that kind of stuff, you know?
And Cornelius, your fire, that was brutal. He self-immolated.
I'm not sure what happened there.
Yeah, and you're a real cute surprised. Puppy.
You see, I barked at a guy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what, Cornelius?
It was a real good bark.
They deserved it.
Yeah, we're saving these kids.
I understand that. It's just, that was something else.
Yeah. Nah, don't worry about it. Let's see what kind of jewels and stuff they have on them as I go and rifle through the first.
Yeah, Nevlin's wandered up and he's kicking over the dead body of the mage looking for any trinkets.
Yeah, Cornelius is going to check out that burned motherfucker. That's kind of, I'm going to pull him out of the water a bit.
Okay.
Gord's gonna head over to the cages.
Torque is at the top cage as well.
Okay, you guys that are searching the bodies, do a thorough search. You find 93 gold pieces, a scroll of fly, and an interesting looking short bow. Also, you find some strange looking documents.
Ooh.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. The rest of you see these sobbing children and walk up towards these children, and I'm assuming you start to let them out of the cages.
Are the cages
calm them down first.
Yeah, I want to make sure. I'm not, like, letting out a completely, like, hysterical child. I want to calm this kid down first.
Okay, yeah, we're going to go, hey, guys, calm down.
You guys want to roll me a...
animal handling check?
Yeah, might as well be.
I mean, I got lots. I'm real good at animal handling.
No, just roll me a per... Roll me a persuasion. Persuasion.
No,
Dario, you can roll intimidation if you want, and we'll RP that.
Oh, I got a nat 20, which is...
Oh, nice.
Oh, Gord got a nat 20,
I got
which would be a 24.
Tork got a nat 20 as well.
We're okay. The children whisperers.
We are.
Between a 9-year-old and a dad. I look at Tork, and I go, hey, Tork, you got this. And together, we go arm in arm.
Dario, what did you get?
That's so
I got a, I got a 14, a 14 for intimidation.
Yeah, so Dario's just,
and I go like, shut the fuck up.
Yes, oh, Dario's on the other side just yelling at kids. He's not helping at all, but Tork and Gord, you go around and you manage to calm like all of the children down with your soothing voices and they all kind of just like, you know, they're...
Hey, champ. Hey, it's okay. Calm down. You know what? The bad guys are gone.
Yeah, and
we just want to go home.
I know. You probably wouldn't be able to tell because of how like muscular and strong and how cool I look. But I'm a kid too, and so I know what it's like. Okay, but you know what, little guy or girl, we're gonna get you out of here. It's all right, little buddy.
Thank you. Can you please take us home?
We'll get you home safe and sound.
No problem.
And we start breaking open the locks.
Yeah, with sheer strength.
Okay, so you bust open all of the locks. They're just latch cages. You just like
so
bust
they could have just
latches.
Escaped this entire.
No,
time?
No, like a dog cage, right? Like it's got the latch that goes over
on
and
the
through,
outside?
Like they can't get out. Yeah, so you just go and bust all the latches, Gord. You're just like bending the steel, and all the cages open, and now you guys have six children that are all kind of standing in front of you, Tork and Gord.
I want a voice for each of them, and we're going to keep them on our journey.
I pick them all up, and I put them on my shoulders, and I go, you stay up here. You'll be safe.
Cute.
Don't be.
And an important question, Ty.
Yeah.
What were these guys cooking for lunch? Because Nevlin is eating it currently.
I think that they had some sort of rabbit.
Oh,
rabbit,
or, no!
Rabbit or squirrel, like on a rotisserie over the fire. It's pretty charred now after the battle, but.
Excellent.
But if it's rabbit, how does Cornelius feel about it?
Give me a bite. I'm a herring gun.
Oh, it's so strikingly similar.
Yeah.
But you know, pork. Yeah.
It's
I
like,
mean,
it's like people and pigs. You know.
I mean,
monkey's
I'm not like
similar.
I'm not stoked on it.
Humans are remarkably similar to pigs. You're right.
We are so, bipedal pigs.
So are you guys going to take these kids back?
Yeah.
Of course we are.
Well, yeah, okay. We're not going to leave them here.
We're going to return them to their proper rightful owners.
Is there any way we can protect them more?
Oh, God. Okay, stop. I draw the line there.
You guys make it seamlessly through the entire bog with the kids. You got them all in a straight line, you know, single file, walking through the bog. Yeah, they all have got, like, they're holding each other's hands. You know,
do we have those leashes that, like, overprotect the parents?
Yeah, we get the rope and we tie them.
No, there you go. You guys make it back with no issues, no worries, and
nice.
You bring the kids into town, and as you guys get into town, people start gasping left and right, and some people are, you can see there's a few elderly people, an elderly couple that both, like, have tears in their eyes as they put their hands over their mouths and gasp and are super grateful that you've brought back these children.
Evelyn's waving and nodding as he goes in. He's like...
Yeah, they're all praise that you guys take them back to Pete's. Is that
to
where you
get
go?
Drunk,
the finest place to carry
the drinking to get
I want to cash. I want to cash in for those goblin churros.
Well, because that's where all the parents were before.
Oh yeah, yeah. That too. Goblin
churros. Like the Chuck E. Cheese of Low Erin.
Yeah. Just a horrible place.
Like a churro and a whack-a-mole, please.
So you guys get back.
Yes.
We just, like, burst open the doors of the inn and fucking walk into that place like heroes.
Yeah.
Yeah, with these gaggle of kids that run out in front of us.
You see the kids just, like, far surpass you in speed and dexterity as they, like, jump over chairs to run to their respective parents, and their parents cry with joy as they are all reunited. They are so ecstatic. And the one guy that you were talking to earlier is no longer red-faced, but has tears in his eyes, and he comes towards you guys, and he's like, "Thank you so much. We haven't much to offer, but we heard you were going out after our children. Put together this pouch of gold." And he gives you guys a pouch of 250 gold pieces. And he says, "You will always be welcome in Low Erin."
All in a day's work, buddy.
Anything we could do to help.
Yeah, that's real nice. You're a good dad. good job.
I turned to Gord at that point. I'm just kind of looking at him. I'm like, you know what? That didn't feel too bad. That was actually really quite nice. All these happy people here. And yeah. All right.
I look at Dario and I give him a wink.
Yeah, but I mean, like, more importantly, where's that Pete guy? And I want to know if those churros are done.
On point there, Torque.
As soon as you start to think about Pete, you start to smell what's in the tavern, and it smells burnt.
Really good. Oh.
It smells burnt, and it looks like he's not having the
Why
greatest time.
Why don't you want me to have a fucking churro? All I want is a churro.
He does not look defeated. He looks frustrated, but he does not look defeated. And he looks at you guys, and he's like,
"Very nice touch on the children, eh? On the kiddies. You need free room and board for the night. Consider it done. I much appreciate you bringing these fine town folks, their families, back together. These churros, well, I've got to get it. I'm determined to make it work. And I will."
Yeah, you think you got it already, maybe?
It's not quite there.
You wrecked them.
Goblin fat burns.
Too hot.
Low burning temperature, I see.
Yes,
you should try butter.
Maybe use like a, like
peanut
a vegetable.
Peanut oil. Yeah.
Vegetable, kind of like a, you know, I don't know.
I'm just going to lighter the fire, keep the fire a little cooler, and it'll be fine. Don't even worry about it.
What do you say to a round for the heroes on the house while we sit down
I've got you covered. Round for the heroes.
That'll be six beers.
He pours six.
As I see him hand Torque one,
we only
I
need
grab
five.
It and drink it.
No! Okay, Torque rolls something to
Listen,
make that God. Not happen.
Roll opposed dexterity checks.
No, wait. It can be strength. You should go with strength.
No, no.
damn it.
Well, Gord, you're going to have to roll a dexterity check. Torque, you could roll a strength check to bat his arm out of the way if you wish.
Okay. Well, what did you roll, Gord?
Gord rolled a 10.
Ah, fuck!
Torque rolled a 10. Can Nevlin try to mage hand it out of Gord's hand?
Yeah, Torque rolled a 7 for his strength check. So.
Okay, so Gord does manage to sneakily grab it from out of your hands, he downs the 2 pints of mead.
We're gonna need another pint of mead over here. We got a real thirsty one.
Okay, well, Spud got one, right? He was the 6th mead, I'm guessing.
Spud has already finished his beer, his mead.
No one want this underage turtle to drink? This is insane.
I'm not drinking this. Do you want mine?
Oh yeah, Dario, I'll do you a good favor. Anyway, just pass it over, and he just slams it. The deed is done.
He quite honestly has a lot more weight than the rest of us, you know, just by his proportions. It should be fine.
You know what? Clearly that's not the case with Torque, because he had 1 pint of mead before and he was totally drunk.
Well, he's also 9, okay? Give him a break.
Okay, so that said,
that first beer, I place it back on the counter and Cornelius walks off quietly to whatever room it is we're staying in.
Okay. Before anyone can grab that beer, I'll drink it.
You're the worst.
That's like 3 pints, Kate.
Corny, before you leave there, we got some things to divvy up here. You want to stick around for that?
Sure.
Yes, no, it's fairly easy here. We have about 343 gold pieces. Split that up, I don't know, five ways? 6 ways?
No, five. No way. 5. Mushrooms don't have any need for gold. He doesn't even have pockets. We wouldn't put it in anything.
He stick it inside a spongy.
No, that's gross.
Sponginess.
Damon, thanks.
Nature's pocket.
You want some of this?
No, I'm okay. Thanks, man. I've got myself covered. As long as there's enough, funds in the reserve to keep me, fed and drank, I'm good.
All right, well, that sounds really good to me, actually.
Yeah, sounds like you're our pet. That's kind of nice.
So that is 68 gold pieces and 6 silver. And then, I had imagined that the scroll of whatever this is goes to Nevlin, of course. And
we've
got some strange documents here we'll probably have to take a look at. And this interesting-looking short bow.
Oh.
Let me take a look at that bow.
Yeah, take a look at it there, Nevlin.
And Nevlin will cast Identify on it.
Just gonna do a shout out to my mom right now. She just texted me asking if I was playing D&D.
What's your answer?
I said I sure am.
Oh yeah.
So whenever she's listening to this, hi mom.
Cute.
Love you, Deb.
Hi, Deb.
You're giving away her secret identity.
Sorry.
Oh.
Hi,
dang it.
Spider-Man.
Yeah. So this bow here looks like a.
It's a. It's a bow of critical thought.
What?
Yeah, it looks like a bow of critical thought.
I also just made that up, so don't bother looking for it. It is a standard short bow, but it criticals on 19s and 20s.
Ooh, crits on 19s and 20s. Holy.
19s in addition to 20s.
Well, I'm not much for these weapons, so I'll leave you guys to figure out who wants to hold on to that one.
Well, I'm not really well-versed in bows.
I mean, I already got my crossbow, but I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, it does sound kind of cool.
Torque, I tell you what, I actually work better with crossbows myself, if that is just, like, a light crossbow.
Well, yeah, it's a good light one.
You mean the one that's in the water?
Okay, I was hoping you wouldn't remember about that. Yeah, like, Torque was so confident about picking it up, he just didn't feel as if he needed to say anything to anybody about it. So, he just didn't.
Do you have it anymore?
No, she threw it in the water and she never picked it up.
to be fair, technically, it's like right on the shore and it's shallow water and not hard to get, but you gotta go there.
Can't they just bribe one of the kids? Okay, so...
I'm sure they want to go back there.
Maybe. Okay, here's maybe what happens. Torque goes up to one of the kids, and because he's a kid whisperer, and he's like, hey, little kid, do you know what a churro is? If you want to go back to that little swampy place, if you find a crossbow and you bring it back, I'll give you a churro, and you're really, really
actually
gonna like it.
The mother, roll persuasion.
Strength. Let's do strength.
No, roll persuasion.
You shake him violently.
I forgot the parents were now in the mix. That's so dumb.
Yeah, roll persuasion.
Damn it. I'm not persuasive at all. God, that's...
If I could give disadvantage to Torque, I would.
It's a five. I rolled a five.
It's a five? Yeah, the mother of this child like uses insight to sense your motive with her child that just returned.
I just saved her child.
Yeah, but now you're asking her to go back to the swamp from whence she came to retrieve something for you, for a churro that doesn't exist.
The Shadowcry are gone.
Anyway, she rolled a 16. She senses your intent, and she is not about it. And she actually slaps at your face. And she rolls that's a 12.
What a horrible parent.
A 12.
She
I'll
misses.
Be honest, if somebody told my child to go into a dangerous place, I'd beat the shit out of
her. She swings at your face and just barely misses slapping you, and then she grabs her child and her husband.
And I bet she's embarrassed.
No, she's so red-faced, and she storms out of Pete's.
Okay, see you later, Karen. Nobody wanted you here anyway.
I look at Torque, and I'm like, Torque!
What?
And I give him the most disappointed look.
You know what, Gord? I would rather you be mad. No, it wasn't. Gord,
this
was your idea.
This was your idea. Not angry. I'm just disappointed.
And that's where we end the session.